Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 24, The Renunciation of Karadama Muni. Text number 32. Tvam suribhis tattva bubhutsayadha. Sada bivadarhana pada pitham. Aishvarya vairagya yasova bodha. Virya sriyar purtam aham prapadye. Tvam suribhis tattva bubhutsayadha. Sada bivadharhana pada pitham. Aishvarya vairagya yasova bodha. Virya sriya purtam aham prapadye. Tvam suribhis tattva bubhutsayadha. Sada bhivadharhana pada pitam. Aishvarya vairagya yasova bodha.
Aishvarya vairagya yasova bodha.
Virya sriya purtam aham prapadye.
Virya sriya purtam aham prapadye.
Tvam.
Tvam.
Unto you.
Unto you.
Suribhi.
Suribhi.
By the great sages.
Tattva.
The absolute truth.
Bubhutsaya.
With a desire to understand.
Adha.
Certainly.
Sada.
Always.
Always.
Abhivada.
Of worshipful respects.
Adha. Oops, sorry. Arhana. Which are worthy, pada, of your feet, pitham,
to the seat,
aishvarya,
opulence,
vairagya,
renunciation,
yashaha,
fame,
avabodha,
knowledge,
virya,
strength.
Shriya, with beauty,
purtam,
who are full, aham,
I,
prapadye,
surrender.
My dear Lord, your lotus feet are the reservoir that always deserves to receive worshipful homage from all great sages eager to understand the absolute truth. You are full in opulence. Renunciation, transcendental fame, knowledge, strength and beauty, and therefore I surrender myself unto your lotus feet. purport. Actually, those who are searching after the absolute truth must take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and worship Him. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna advised Arjuna many times to surrender unto Him, especially at the end of the 9th chapter, Manmanaha Bhavamad Bhaktaha. If you want to be perfect, just always think of me. Become my devotee, worship me, and offer your obeisances to me. In this way, you will understand me, the personality of Godhead. Let's have some air, shall we? Bit of air. Turn on the blower, give us some air. Air and sugar is what I need at the moment. In this way, you will understand me, the personality of Godhead, and ultimately you will come back to me, back to Godhead, back home. Why is it so? Why is it so? There used to be a, when I was a kid, teenager, young teenager, there was a gentleman called Professor Julius Sumner Miller. And he had a television show called Why Is It So? He never told us that Krishna was the... he never came to the conclusion that it was Krishna. But he was a physicist, very smart man. Well, Prabhupada says here, why is it so? The Lord is always full in six opulences, as mentioned herein: wealth, renunciation, fame, knowledge, strength, and beauty. Aishwarya Vairagya Yashova Bodha. So that's opulence, wealth, I guess you could say. Renunciation. Fame, knowledge, virya. We've got ananta virya, right? He's still swimming in the St. Kilda beach in this weather. Right? Sriya, beauty, right? Strength and beauty. So, wealth, renunciation, fame, knowledge, strength, beauty, puratam, in full, similar to the word puranam, which means complete, right? Puratam. Interesting, puratam and puranam. Prabhupada says here, the word puratam means in full. No one can claim that all wealth belongs to him, but Krishna can claim it, since he has full wealth. Similarly, he is full in knowledge, renunciation, strength, and beauty. He is full in everything, and no one can surpass him. Another one of Krishna's names is Asamurdva, which means that no one is equal to or greater than him. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam rupa kada mahiyam tadati svapadantikam mukkam karoti vachalam pangam langayate girim yat kripa tamaham bande svikarum dinatarinam. Those who are searching after the absolute truth must take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and worship Him. Man mana bhava mad bhakto mad yaji mam namaskaru. And if you do that, you'll be perfect. Huh? If you want to be perfect, just always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me and offer your obeisances to me. In this way, you will understand me, the personality of Godhead. And ultimately, you will come back to me, back to Godhead, back home. Why? Well, Prabhupada explains here, because Krishna is full in all opulence. The message is here. Those who have a desire to understand the absolute truth should offer their respects to the lotus feet of the Lord. He's the most respectable because he is Bhagavan, which means the possessor of all opulence. Bhaga means opulence. Prabhupada explains this many times. Bhagavan, the possessor of opulence. And Prabhupada is explaining here, and because he's the possessor of opulence in full, then he's able to give liberation. He's able to give knowledge. He's able to give wealth. He's all of the qualities or all of the characteristics that are desirable are provided ultimately by Krishna. He's the source of everything. And that's why he's described as being full of all opulence, all of these potencies. Vaishvara vairagya yasova bodha virya sri a puritam aham prapadye. By surrendering to Krishna, one puts oneself in a position where Krishna can give his blessings. Of course, a devotee is not interested in these opulences themselves. Nadanam nadanam nasundurim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye. Lord Chaitanya exemplifies this mood of a servant. Right? Gopi Bhatu Pada Kamalaya Dasa Das Anudas. What is valuable for the devotee, what is the greatest opulence, is actually not to have these facilities, but rather to be a servant. Mobile phone in silent mode. Yes. Good. And it's described in the Nectar Devotion, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and elsewhere also, that when the devotees surrender to Krishna as his servants, then automatically these opulences are provided. Maybe not. But what's most valuable for the devotee is the opportunity to render service. And that mood of servitude is the beginning of one's relationship with Krishna. And as that mood of service deepens, then the understanding of one's relationship with Krishna also expands into more intimate realizations and more intimate connections with Krishna. But it begins with this mood of surrender. And so we see it here. Aham prapadye. I surrender. Prapadye means surrender, translated here, surrender. Aham prapadye. Now, that surrender to Krishna is done initially with this understanding of jnana. Right? There's some philosophical or theoretical understanding of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the beginning of surrender. You know, there's somebody greater than me. God is great. He's the Vibhu, right? And I am small, Anu. He's big, I'm small. And my existence, my being, my everything, every qualification, every characteristic, every potency or power, ability, Krishna says, I'm the ability of man. It all comes ultimately from him. And so, you know, there's that mood of diminution in the character of a devotee. Now, if we're great, we're only great because Krishna allows us to be great. He's the actual great. We're just the small mamaivamsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatnaha. We're just a small part and parcel of Krishna. Minute part and parcel. And what happens, what has happened, is that we're given certain facilities. Right? We got a man's body. Right? So we're thinking, yeah, I'm pretty good. I'm better than the other guys. Whether it's the women or the other men. Right? The material energy covers us over. We've got some intelligence. We think we're the most intelligent. Right? We've got some. We have some handsomeness, some virya, and we think we're the best. Right? When you get old, you discover that actually everybody's is a bad deal. To be honest. And the women also, they think I'm very attractive, the men like to look at me, I've got control of the men. Right? Is that right? No. You sure? Because we get some potency, we have some power. right? The women can look at the men, and just with a blink of their eyelids, the men are conquered. Right? For a moment, momentarily. It doesn't last. That's the nature of the material world. We're given these facilities, we think we're wonderful and great. Ultimately, that wonderful and great has come from Krishna. And of course, we're also wonderful and great because we're part and parcel of Krishna. But the power of the material energy service is to pull us down or to keep us in Maya, or if we're trying to get out of Maya, pull us back to test us, to make sure that we're pure. We can't associate with Krishna when we're in competition with him. It's wrong. It's the wrong attitude. It's the wrong mood. So this mood of surrender, aham prapadye, I surrender to you, Krishna, has its foundation in part when one understands this point, that Krishna is the the word is reservoir, right? And what's the Sanskrit word? Aharana pada pitam. Pitam means the seat, right? We have that word yoga pit in Mayapur. The seat, and that's Lord Chaitanya's birthplace, the yoga pit. The seat of yoga. Interesting. So he's the seat, the reservoir, well, and I guess it's the reservoir, the source, right? He's the source of everything. And when we understand that he's the source of everything, that it's not me, but ultimately it's Krishna, then we bow down to the Lord. That's the beginning of this surrender. Understanding. God is great, I am small, I'm his servant. Right? Ishvare, what is it? Ekale Ishvara Krishna Ara Sabha Britya. It's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Ekale Ishvara Krishna. Krishna is the only controller. Everybody else is Britya, a servant. Right? They're really important to understand that we're a servant. Otherwise, if we're not thinking we're a servant, what are we thinking? I'm the master. Right? This is, and so that's why, you know, this understanding of Krishna is important. And why we offer everything to Krishna. Yad karosi, yad ashnasi, yad jahosi, tadasi yat. Right? Everything we do, we should offer to Krishna. What we do is what we do on Janmashtami. Right? We offer everything to Krishna. Because I'm thinking this morning, what are all these guys doing here? You know, they weren't here yesterday. But ultimately, it's something that we should be doing every day. What we do on Janmashtami is what we should be doing every day for Krishna. Because we are. We come together to celebrate Janmashtami because it is a special occasion. And it's an opportunity to take advantage of the enthusiasm that comes from the festivals, like Ekadasi, like Janmashtami, like Radhashtami, like special occasions. And of course, on other days, we're offering our routine service, our routine activity, we're offering it also to Krishna. So we can't all of us, you know, all of the families, all of the kids and everyone come to Mangala Aarti every day. We'd probably fall over, keel over with exhaustion after about 5 days, if we're lucky. Doing that every day. And maintaining everything else, going to work, staying awake at work. Do you ever get that feeling at work, you know, suddenly everything starts to fade? And then, you know, you kind of look around to see whether anybody noticed. You know, what do they call it? A micro sleep, right? It's called fatigue. So we have to pace ourselves. But it's this mood of service. And of course, you know, that mood of service is inspiring. It's very inspiring, very attractive. We can see, look at the decorations of on the altar and the effort that the devotees put in. So much effort. That's inspiring. They didn't do it for recognition. They didn't do it for money. Stayed up till 1:30 last night. We're all having a good sleep. And they're all putting up the decorations for the pleasure of Krishna, ultimately, and also for the pleasure of the devotees. It's inspiring when we see the sacrifice of the devotees and the efforts that they go to decorate and to feed, glorify. Ultimately, it's worship. It's all worship of Krishna. And it's done without any consideration, without any motive, other than to please Krishna. And it's a symbol of, or it's emblematic of, or it's demonstrative of their understanding that Krishna is the supreme. He is full in all opulence. All opulence should be given to him. It's come from him. He's the source. What is it? Ishvara. No. What's Lord Brahma's prayer? Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anadi Adi Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. Right, so he's the cause of all causes. He's the one from which everything comes. Now that's interesting. That's the definition of God, and why we worship God. Of course, Krishna is a little tricky because he doesn't appear as the supreme personality of Godhead. This is why Lord Brahma got bewildered by Krishna's activities. He's just playing with his friends, you know, herding the cows, playing leapfrog, eating with his left hand, doesn't even know how to behave properly, right? Uncultured young boy, right? And so he doesn't appear as the supreme anything when he appears as a cowherd. The son of a cowherd. You know, we might say, how's that opulent? Being the son of a king, a controller, if he's the supreme controller, why does he appear as the controller of cows? Where's the opulence in that? The controller of cows. and just playing in the forest. So Krishna's pastimes are a little tricky to understand, to appreciate, because the opulence of the sylvan atmosphere of Vrindavan is not like the opulence of Vaikuntha. Can you please turn off your phones? Just have a look in your pocket or your bag and just make sure. You can leave it on, just put it on silent. Make sure it doesn't vibrate too much. So, you know, this idea of God is one of, here the word is Aishwarya, opulence, the supreme controller, Upadrashta Anumanta, Bharta Bhakta Maheshwaraha. There are descriptions in the Bhagavad Gita of God, the controller, the supreme controller, the supremely opulent, the most powerful, the strongest. And so, you know, that personality, that Bhagavan, is covered. That personality is somewhat covered. Covered might not be the right word. Because even though Krishna appears as a cowherd boy, and you know, at the beck and call of his friends, and just performs or engages in very simple activities, this idea of God as, you know, the most powerful, the big king, if you like, the big controller, is not prominent in the Vrindavan pastimes. He's there, though, mind you. Right. Krishna displays his power, say for example, when he lifts Govardhan Hill. But he's worshipped by the demigods. Lord Brahma comes and offers his obeisances. Indra comes and offers his obeisances. The demigods are intrigued by the pastimes of Krishna. He kills so many demons. So he shows his strength, his power. He shows how he's the supreme controller, but at the same time, he shows the pastimes of intimacy that are not revealed in the Vaikuntha realms. In the Vaikuntha realms, the level of intimacy, the highest level of intimacy is what? What's the highest level of intimacy that is demonstrated in the Vaikuntha realms? No. Intimate, what's the highest level? If we've got Madhurya, Vatsalya, Sakya, Dasya, Shanta, right? Five relationships. What's the highest level that's... Yeah, that's in... But that... Not in Vaikuntha. You don't see that in Vaikuntha. What's the highest level? You're all guessing. No, Sakya. But Sakya, still with awe and reverence. Right? Not the kind of sakya that you get in Vrindavan where the cowherd boys think they're superior to Krishna. Right? The intimacy, the friendship is so strong they say, oh, who do you think you are anyway? Huh? Come on, fight. They like to fight. Right? If they're thinking that, oh, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, right? How can you have fun with somebody? You can't have a fight. Huh? Boys like to fight. What? That's what they do. Well, not all the time. But a lot of the time. There's competition. Competition. On the one hand, in Vaikuntha, we see the Supreme Lord, but we don't see all of the characteristics of his personality. And so, therefore, not all of his opulence is actually revealed in Vaikuntha. But when Krishna appears in Vrindavan, then he reveals these very intimate relationships with his friends, where he allows his friends to control him. In Vaikuntha, he's the controller. But in Vrindavan, Krishna allows his friends to control him. And so therefore, you know, he'll carry them on his back, you know, when they're playing the different games. Wish to play, you get in the water and somebody sits on your shoulders. You ever played that game as a kid? And you wrestle. The two guys on top are wrestling. The two guys on the bottom. That's fun. And Krishna takes he takes the lower position. Out of affection and out of love for his friends, Krishna gives up the role of the supreme controller and becomes the servant of the devotees. That's an opulence. Usually when you've got a position, you want to maintain your position. Right? It's considered to be an embarrassment if you're not maintaining your profile, as it were. Prabhupada gives the example of Benjamin Disraeli, the Prime Minister of England, who was a very powerful and influential leader. And he tells the story about how his friend went to visit him, but he couldn't get past the secretary, and the secretary told him he's busy at the moment. So he was thinking, oh, he's busy, he's the Prime Minister of England, right? So he must be busy with affairs of the state. But after a while he got a bit annoyed because he couldn't see him, so he peeked in the door to see what he was doing, and he was on all fours playing giddy-up with his grandchildren, right? So even a great man becomes subservient to those who have love and affection for them. And so Benjamin Disraeli, you know, the man who tells everybody in England what to do, his grandson sitting on his back saying, giddy up, grandpa, come on. Yeah. He wouldn't do that to the, you know, the chief whip of his party. But when the relationship is thick with affection and love, then even God is prepared to render service to those who have love and affection for him. That's how he's conquered. He's the Ajita, which means unconquerable. But actually, he is conquerable by those who love him, and his pastimes in Vrindavan are symptomatic, or they demonstrate that those intimate dealings. And so we see in Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes, in the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Krishna, as a cowherd boy in Vrindavan, we see the full opulence of his character and personality, more than that of the Supreme Controller of Vaikuntha. We see him in his very intimate dealings and relationships with his lovers, with his parents and the uncles and aunts, the gopas and the gopis. And we see his relationships with his friends, the sakas, which are a demonstration of his personality, of his character. And so even though he's not appearing as the Supreme King or the Supreme Controller, still it's understood that the Supreme Controller is there, but he's also showing the depth of his personality and is revealing a far more attractive character, a far more attractive personality. And this is very difficult to understand. This is actually very, very challenging for most people to appreciate, well, first of all, that God exists. That's the first thing. You know, that God exists, and that God is a cowherd boy. I remember in my friend's house, I knew where all the Hare Krishna books were because they had a blue. There was the blue Krishna book, which had a blue fluorescent cover, and the Nectar Devotion had a pink fluorescent cover. So I always knew where the Krishna books were in people's houses. And I remember one day pulling out the Nectar Devotion and opening it up. And I thought, oh yeah, okay, let's have a look at this Krishna stuff, you know. And then it described how, I just opened up to a page where it described how Krishna is a cowherd boy and he lives in Vrindavan and he's playing with his friends. And I just thought, ooh. Closed the book and put it back out on the shelf. It's like, whoa. You know, I'd been reading books about yogis and Buddhism and stuff, so my conception of God was void or at best impersonal, just some energy, some power, some potency, right? But to find out that the source of all of this is a person, right? It's like, that's extremely difficult for people to understand. To come to that realization of understanding is a result of, it's mentioned, you know, many, many years of pious, many, many lifetimes of pious activity. And pious activity means not just doing good karma or even cultivating knowledge, but it means it's the culmination of devotional service. It's the perfection of existence, but rarely achieved. What is it? Sudulabha. Very rarely achieved. And is only readily understood in the association of the devotees. The reason why we're able to understand and appreciate that Krishna is a person is because we've associated with the devotees. And they brainwashed us, basically. We've heard it so many times now, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. Oh, yeah, okay. And then, and we realise it, but we realise it by rendering service. And the beginning of our service is chanting Hare Krishna. Right. That's where we get our ability to actually understand Krishna as the personality of Godhead. Otherwise it's somewhat theoretical. But we need that theoretical understanding to begin the surrendering process. Even if we don't, you know, there's that story about, was it Garga Muni? Said to Prabhupada, you know, I just don't feel like bowing down. Huh? I don't feel like it. Prabhupada said, just do it anyway. Right? Just do it. And like chanting Hare Krishna. There are many days when we don't feel like chanting Hare Krishna. Huh? Have you experienced that? You get up in the morning and you think, oh no. 16 rounds. Oh. My mind hurts. Huh? But if you just do it, if you just do it, I know, you know, sometimes I go to bed at night and I'm meditating on some huge problem. And I think, oh no, what's going to happen? In fact, sometimes I'll wake up at night worrying about something. But then, and I'll come to some conclusion. This is what's going to happen. It's going to be the end of the creation. But then I get up and I chant my rounds, and then all of a sudden that big problem just went and it shrunk down to nothing. Completely gone. The previous night it was the biggest hurdle or obstacle in creation. Right? But then you get up in the morning, you chant Hare Krishna, and all of a sudden the problem solved. And all you did was chant Hare Krishna. Have you had that experience? I've had it so many times as a manager. You think there's going to be a huge obstacle for getting something done, and then somebody turns up and says, oh, I just finished that off. Just did it. So, oh, okay. I didn't even have to think about it. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't think about problems and not try to solve them, but the power of chanting Hare Krishna and the power of devotional service to put everything into perspective and to appreciate that Krishna is a person, that God is a person, and that he's the source of everything, and that it's my responsibility, it's my prime duty to be his servant. Nityara Krishna Das. Jivara Swarupahoy. Our eternal form begins with understanding that we're a servant and then doing the service. And it begins for us by chanting Hare Krishna, by hearing the Bhagavatam, just like we're hearing now. Krishna is the source of all opulence. If you surrender to him, then he'll give you everything. He's the possessor of everything. If you want liberation, he'll give it to you. Mind you, for the devotees, liberation's not so important because it comes automatically with being a servant. Right? We don't have to worry about liberation. Liberation comes automatically when you're a devotee. So the most important thing for a devotee is, let me be your servant. And how do we do that? We can't directly be Krishna's servant. So Krishna says, if you want to be my servant, you have to be a servant of my servant. Well, actually, a servant of a servant of a servant of a servant many times removed a servant of myself through serving my devotees. This is our system. That's how we become known as a servant of Krishna, by serving his servants. So, service begins with the tongue. No prasadam until midnight. I had some apple. I'm sorry about that. In my old age, I can't fast anymore. And when I run out of energy, then it just goes... And then I've discovered that if I eat something, then all of a sudden the energy comes back again. I used to be able to fast all day and keep powering along. But then got diabetes and that's finished. So, we get our strength and our inspiration from service. We get our strength and inspiration from chanting Hare Krishna. We're inspired by the midnight feast. As well. And Jaisachi is looking forward to your assistance. You know, I remember when... In the early days, when I first joined, you know, Janmashtami was a huge ordeal, right? Huge ordeal, because I used to think, oh boy, no breakfast, and it's 15 hours to go. And we used to read the Krishna book. In what's now the dining room, used to be the reception. And I remember sitting in there and we'd be reading the Krishna book, or we'd be in the temple room and you'd just fall asleep. And then you wake up, 11 and a half hours to go, having something to eat. And then we'd have to be in the kitchen with korma. In the afternoon we'd be cooking with korma and slightly intense. Korma would cook something like 40. Actually, with the day before Janmashtami, we'd be in the kitchen and we'd be cooking 40 or 50 chutneys, because right, we're doing 108 preparations. And we used to make, you know, those ice cream containers, we'd make 40 chutneys out of it, and so on. In those days, you know, we'd get 300 people for Janmashtami. That was a big crowd. And of course, in those days also, we used to cook much more finer feasts than we cook now. You know, you could have stuffed puris. Have you ever had stuffed puris? The korma's recipe for stuffed puris is very good. But of course we don't do stuffed puris now for 7,000 people. That's a lot of puris. You know, that austerity, that sacrifice helps us develop that mood of servitude. You know, just meditating on your empty stomach is a sign of self-absorption, right? Oh, when am I going to get fed? We're just thinking about ourselves. But putting that aside, that helps us develop our relationship with Krishna. Krishna sees, oh, look, he's prepared to fast all day just for me, for my pleasure. So Krishna appreciates that and makes himself available, personally available to the devotees who perform those sacrifices. We put aside our personal interests and we focus on pleasing Krishna. Very simple. Our yoga practice, our yoga process is actually very, very simple. It is not very difficult at all. But very, very powerful. And one who dedicates, Prabhupada says, if you want to be perfect, think of Krishna. Become Krishna's devotee. Sacrifice your time and effort for Krishna's pleasure. And then Krishna will reveal himself. He becomes purchased by the sacrifices that the devotee performs for his pleasure. So, our understanding of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full in all opulence, helps us to appreciate his position, helps us to appreciate that we're his servant. Our business is to serve and please him. And then in the rendering of that service, we get to establish our relationship with the Lord. And in developing that relationship, we will be endowed with a share of those opulences. The devotees share the opulence of the devotees of God, share the opulence of God when they use it in his service. Not that we want that opulence so we can enjoy it for ourselves, but rather the opulence is utilized in service to the Lord. That's what is it called? Yukta Vairagya is our philosophy. Nibandha Krishna Sambandhe. What is it? Yukta Vairagyam Uchate. We use the opulence not for our pleasure but for Krishna's pleasure. That way we share in his opulence and we have a very opulent lifestyle in that we use it for Krishna's pleasure. So, this is our business. Aham prapadye, I surrender to you, Krishna. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am your servant. And as we increase or deepen that surrender, then the more our spiritual identity is revealed. Our Nitya Siddha position, our eternal perfection, exists within us. It's not something that's imposed, but rather it's already exists within us. It needs to be uncovered. And we uncover it by this surrendering process. And of course, the surrendering process is dependent. Beginning, theoretically, let's just have a theoretical understanding that I'm a servant, but then do the service. And then as we do the service, then Krishna reveals himself and our eternal perfection, our Siddha Deha is automatically revealed. That's the potency. We have to stick to the sadhana. Strictly, as we stick to the sadhana, then and become pure. When we're free from material desires, then Krishna will reveal our spiritual identity, Prabhupada says. It'll be revealed automatically. But the first part is we have to, as part of this surrender, is, you know, follow the process of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Follow the rules and regulations of devotional service strictly. You know, if we want it to be an automatic process, we've got to follow the process. Not, we want it to be an automatic process but not follow the process. Right? But if we follow the process, that means understand a little bit that you're a servant, then do the service. Chant Hare Krishna, render service, then Krishna will reveal himself. As long as we strictly follow that process of surrender. I'll finish here. Does anybody have any comments or questions? In Vaikuntha? We were talking about it the other day. Is it Lakshmi? Don't know. You can find out. Look it up. I can't remember. Who's the... Anybody like to say? It's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I was reading the other day. I can't remember. Anything else? No. Okay, Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Bhakta Pinda ki jai.